I'll have you turn with me, please, to two portions of Scripture. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 53. So again, that's 1 Peter chapter 2 and Isaiah chapter 53. We'll start with 1 Peter 2 and move back to Isaiah 53. So as we're continuing on in our study, we're in our series called Fit and Trim. Last week we started, or not started, but 2 weeks ago we started. Last week we studied on our diet and how we need to be in the Word and how we need to be in the work of God. Those are the two things that Jesus feasted on when he was on this earth. And I believe, quite frankly, those are still the two things he feasts on the most. So with diet also comes... Very good. And that's what I thought was going to be today's sermon, but it's not. So all of you that were thinking I was going to put you through the paces of exercise, I think Al did a good enough job with that yesterday. I don't have to talk about exercise. But before any exercise program, there's one thing that we're all compelled to do, and this is where I went to God and said, okay, God, you know, this is your series. What do we want to do? I thought, just as Mary said, it would be an exercise program, and he said there's a requirement you have to do before you go to exercise programs. You must consult your physician. Now, there's a tricky thing about consulting a physician. How many have ever been to a doctor? How many have ever gone to the doctor and left the doctors going, he doesn't know or she doesn't know what he or she is talking about? Anybody ever left that way? Okay. Now, we have earthly doctors who do something that we call practice medicine. And there's a reason it's referred to as that, is practicing, because sometimes they don't know what they're doing. So I understand how sometimes with our doctors, we go to them and we say they don't know what they're talking about, because we put that word practicing in there. But here's the crux. They still know more than you do. Don't give me that look. I got somebody that just gave me that disgusted, how can you say that? It's true. They've gone to school for a lot of years. They've done a lot of independent studies. They've done a lot of in situ studies while they have been doctors. And they've learned a whole lot of things. And whether we like to admit it or not, the doctor knows more than we do. But Pastor Dan, they don't know me as well as I do. Right? They don't know what I'm capable of. They don't know what my stubborn mentality can pull off. Right? This is Pastor Dan speaking on Pastor Dan's experience. Whether that experience is shared with any of you, I'll let you figure it out. Okay? But that's just the thing we get into. We know ourselves, yes? And we get this mentality, because I know myself so well, that the doctor can give me this advice. I remember I was, believe it or not, I know I'm coming up on 44 years on Tuesday, but I used to be 16. And as a 16-year-old, I blew out my knee in football practice one day. I didn't blow it out. Somebody did it for me. I didn't have to do it. I was blocking downfield. I was a down lineman, but I had gotten downfield. I was up on the linebacker, and my running back was doing their job, coming off my shoulder just like they're supposed to, but somebody wasn't doing their job over there, and they let a defender come through, blast my running back, and all of their weight, both the tackler and the running back, as I'm here blocking, came down on my knee. And I hit the ground, and I couldn't get back up. Turns out... the doctor said I probably had a torn MCL. And he recommended that I didn't play the next week. I looked at him as a 16-year-old and I said, you recommend? I heard recommend. That doesn't mean he's not ordering me not to. It just says he doesn't think I should. And then he looked at me, because he caught on to my 16-year-old stubbornness, and he said, don't play. This happened on a Tuesday. We had a game on Friday. Don't play on Friday. So So I compromised. I was what they call an Iron Man player. I played both sides of the line, offense and defense. I didn't play defense that day. Those of you that are going, well, if you're blocking downfield, you weren't on defense when you got hurt. You're right, I was on offense. But I still played offense because that's where the team needed me the most. I put a brace on the knee. I did some exercises, and I played. I just didn't play as hard or as long. Fortunately, we were playing Beaverton that day. And we were up 24-0 by the end of the first quarter, so I got the rest of the game off because they didn't need me as much as that I thought they did. But there was pressure for me to play. Our running backs, who had come to depend on me, I was the main down lineman blocker, and the running backs were moping around going, we just lost our main guard, we're going to lose. You know what that does to a 16-year-old that doesn't want to lose? Puts pressure. So I felt a responsibility. I have to get this done. I have to do this for my team. No matter what the doctor said, I have to do this thing. Now, in this particular situation, because we had Beaverton, it was okay. Had we had to play Coleman, it would have been another story. Okay? You're welcome. Get props where props are due. I'm not criticizing at all. But how often do we do that same thing to our God? Well, God gives us our prescription. And everything that you have in your lap or the thing that you're tapping on your phone, hopefully you're tapping your Bible and not playing some kind of game. But all of that is a prescription. All of that is stuff that is for your good. None of that is meant to deter you from doing great things. None of that is supposed to feel condemnation towards you. None of that is supposed to bring any kind of negativity into your life. All of that prescription called the Bible is supposed to build you up and is full of instruction. And all Scripture is given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it is used for edifying, and it is used for building up, and it is used for teaching, and it is also used to help us to reproach. It's also used for correction. And correction with God is never supposed to be something that is demeaning or condemning. It is supposed to be something, hey, you're on the wrong track, and if you keep going this way, you're going to get hurt even more. My doctor was saying, you are hurt. And if you go out there and play into this condition, you will likely be hurt some more. But the doctor didn't know what he was talking about. That doctor didn't know me. God does. And God knows you better than yourself. And we get into situations where we're supposed to be listening to the great physician and taking in the prescription that he brings, and we deny him altogether. But there's bits and pieces that we like to hear that we hold on to. How many have ever gone to the doctor and they gave you partially information that you expected and wanted, and they gave you other material that you didn't want, and you clung to the stuff that you wanted, but totally dismissed the stuff that you didn't? And yes, I am looking at you, Al. Don't think I'm... Okay? How many have been there? Give me a show of hands. I cannot be the only stiff-necked person in this room. Okay? Some of you are not raising your hand that I know should. And that's really the part of consulting the physician I want to talk about today. You know, there is that the portion of where we have this prescription called the Bible, and we ignore and accept and ignore and accept, and we go through this rotten cycle. But there's something that everybody here, as I look around the room, agrees upon. And we're going to read about that here in 1 Peter in chapter 2. Are you guys ready? In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says in verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." Read verse 24 with me. "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Some of your old King James may sheep to the slaughter, right? Now, how many in here will raise their hands and say, I believe that Jesus bore my sins on the cross and sin no longer has power over me? How many will confess that today? I believe Jesus bore my sin on the cross and sin has no power over me because Jesus has conquered sin. I see wives assisting their husbands to make sure that they get their hand up. I'm not sure that's exactly what the Bible meant by helpmate, but I'll take it. Okay? So all of us in unity can agree that Jesus bore our sin. He took it upon himself. He who knew no sin took our sins upon himself and died on a cross so that we don't have to. We all agree on that. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. And in that agreement, we can fully be persuaded that this is part of the prescription that we're willing to accept and we're going to use. And we're going to have confidence that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for my sins, rose again to make a way for me to get into heaven. We can all say that independently. And we agree on that. Well, let me show you something else in the Scripture. This is a portion of Scripture that's actually taken from the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 53. Go to that with me for just a moment. And in verse, I put down in your bulletin to read the entire chapter, but I'm going to, for the sake of brevity, start with verse 3. And you can tell Jessica when you see her that I put this in an abbreviated sermon that she missed out on. It says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. For we all, like sheep, have gone astray, and have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can you guys see parallel things in 1 Peter that you saw here? We talk about by his stripes we were healed in 1 Peter. We are healed here in Isaiah. You recognize pre-Christ and post-Christ situation. We also recognize here that we were like sheep gone astray. These are parallel passages. In 1 Peter, we all agreed and said he bore our sins on the cross. Here in Isaiah chapter 53, it says he bore our grief and our sorrow. Now to read that for what it is in our current language, we would think that grief and sorrow are pretty much the same thing. But in the original Hebrew, that word grief actually translates to disease or sickness. He bore our diseases and sickness on the cross as well. He didn't just bear our sins. He bore our disease and sickness and our sorrows. So he made a way to heaven that we all agree on. We all accept. He bore our sins on the cross. We're willing to accept the great physician has done this thing and prescribed this. But when it comes down to these healing factors, where it says he bore our sickness and our sorrows, that's our bodily problems and our emotional problems. He bore our bodily problems on the cross. And it says in the previous verses that verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A man of sorrows, the emotional issues, and acquainted with disease, the grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Now I'm going to change the context of this just a little bit for emphasizing my point. Understand that I'm taking some freedoms here, okay? This is Pastor Dan leveraging. This is not strict Bible translation. Everybody agree? Okay, I promised you before I will give you my impression and my personal opinion about something, and then I will tell you what is exactly what the Spirit says about something. This is Pastor Dan. Okay? Okay? I fully believe that Jesus has the ability to heal every disease and sickness. I don't care if it's chicken pox or cancer. I think God can, I know God can do this. I know He can heal it. But there's a disconnect that takes place in the body of Christ where when we start talking about healing, we start thinking, oh, that's superstitious. We start thinking, okay, the doctors are the ones that are supposed to be helping us here. We just kind of got to pray to God that He'll be merciful about these things. And we don't claim the healing that's available to us because we still hide our faces from this aspect of the cross. We almost think it a shame to believe that God is going to heal things sometimes. And we think people are going to look at us funny when we claim Jesus got this. Jesus is going to heal it. Now, by faith, you are saved through grace, right? By grace, you are saved through faith. I got that a little mixed up. By grace, you are saved through faith. And salvation comes because Jesus bore our sins on the cross, yes? Okay, so by grace, you are healed by faith. By grace, you overcome sorrow by faith. If we can put one thing on the cross, if we can talk about our sin and talk about the salvation that comes from our belief that Jesus bore our sins on the cross, why would we think we can't do that for the others? Some of you are going through some traumatic emotional issues. Okay? And let's just face it, this world sucks. I have had to help people overcome in this church, okay, not this body of people, but sitting in my office, I've had to coach young women who have been through incestual rape in their lives. Not only a bodily issue, but a major emotional issue, right? I've had to help people that have gone through post-traumatic stress, whether it was through wars or whether it was through something that took place in our own house. Sometimes you can get post-traumatic stress just because you were in an impressionable age and somebody that you really respected and counted on to help you laughed at you. And you can create this bitter trauma in your life to where you become a real jerk. Just kidding. I'm just making sure you're paying attention.
Oh, I am.
Okay. And God wants to help us not to be jerks anymore. So if we're able to believe that by grace you are saved through faith, how can we not believe that by grace you are healed emotionally, you are healed bodily by that same faith? Because if the cross activated salvation through the departing of sin, for the bearing of sin on a cross that Jesus did for us, why can't faith and grace also be activated by the same cross where the same person also bore not just the sin, but the sorrow and the disease? But we don't go to the physician the right way anymore. Why? Because I know me. Now, if I were to ask the question in here, how many think that God knows you better than you do, everybody would raise their hand. Because God is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-present. He's that omni-guy, right? You put omni and then whatever, and that's God. Okay? But we still draw on our own strength. We still draw on our own understanding. And we still think we know better sometimes because God, He's up there. I can't have that kind of faith. It's an excuse that we bring forward. That's great for everybody else, but it's not practical for me. I know of several Christians who are praying vehemently for the healing of everybody in their family, all of their friends, everybody they come encounter with. Sometimes some people just that are strangers that come up to you and start a conversation and you start praying and you claim the healing and you believe God's going to do something, but the moment that you're the one that's stricken, the moment that you're the one that has a grief or a sorrow, oh, that can't help me. That's great for everybody else, but that's not going to help me. I touching anybody just yet? You know, last week I talked about the fact that we're supposed to not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I went on this little rant about how great bread is and how it smells and tastes and it makes you feel comfortable. I didn't know that several in the church had started the keto diet that morning. Or some of them had started the week before. And they're not here today. Because they were sitting in the pew and I'm talking about bread and that's all they could think of was, I want some bread. I have a funny feeling that I broke some people's diet. Because they went out of here and they went, I'm having bread. He talked for 20 minutes just on bread. I want me some bread. But here I'm going to talk for 20 minutes about healing that becomes available to us that we reject or we don't even want to try and accept. And there's no excuse. I've got you on this one. Okay? There's some of you that are sitting in your pew going, yeah, but. Listen, you believe he bore your sin on a cross. The same Bible that says he bore your sin on a cross and leads you to salvation and brings you into heaven is the same Bible that says he also bore your sicknesses and your sorrows on the same cross. He didn't come off the cross after salvation and sin was taken, put back on the cross for grief, back down, and then back on the cross for sorrow. He went up there and took them all at the same time so that all these things become available to each and every believer. And the faith is what activates it. Let me remind you of a couple things in Scripture. There was a centurion that knew Jesus was coming to town. He rode out with his band. And, you know, if I'm the 12 disciples and I'm following after Jesus and I see this centurion, by the way, centurion, a leader of a centurion means he leads 100 people. I'm 12 against 100. I'm probably hiding behind Jesus. But Jesus doesn't hide. He walks up to the guy and says, what do you want? He says, I got a servant at home. He's going to die if you don't come and heal him. Jesus says, all right, I'll come. And the centurion says, no. That's not necessary. I lead these men, and if I give an order, I know it's going to be followed. If you give this order for this healing to come, I know it will be followed. And Jesus stood there, and he said, I have not seen such great faith anywhere. And the centurion went home. He got home, his servant was completely healed. And he asked, what time did the healing come? And they told him, and he knew it was the same time that Jesus said it was done. Because of his faith. And he wasn't even a Jew. He had not had the benefit of Jesus going to the cross yet. He was talking to Jesus face to face, and he simply said, I believe if you do this, this will happen. And Jesus said, because of your faith, it is done. The Syrophoenician woman. There's this woman that came to Jesus. Her daughter was possessed by devils. And by the way, you want to know why her daughter was possessed by devils? Because she was a Syrophoenician woman. It's the same town that Jezebel from the Old Testament was from. And anybody remembers anything about Jezebel recognizes she was into witchcraft and paganism. So this woman was also into witchcraft and paganism. And her daughter was taken captive by demons because of her practicing. And she recognized, I can do nothing about this. All of my gifts aren't getting anything accomplished. I'm going to Jesus because I know that these things have happened for other people and I know he can do it for my daughter. So she went to Jesus and Jesus says, it's not fit for me to give the food meant for the children to the dogs. Now, if I were that woman, I kind of would have wanted to punch him. What do you mean a dog? But she understood her position. And she said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall off the table. And the woman who is into witchcraft, a woman who is into the demonic things of this world, when she expressed that, Jesus looked at her and said, for this saying, your daughter is made whole. The healing has come. For this saying. Because you have demonstrated a faith that is able to heal your daughter. I submit to you that neither that centurion nor that Syrophoenician woman was any better a person than you are, was any more important a person than you are. And I believe wholeheartedly that what prevents most of us Christians from going to the cross and saying, I claim the healing that Jesus bore on the cross. I claim that He put my grief, my sickness, my disease on that cross. And I claim the healing because of the cross. We don't do that because we don't think we're good enough. We don't think we deserve it. It's fine for somebody else. I'll pray it for somebody else. But you're praying for people that are just as rotten as you are. Why do they deserve it more than you do? The woman that grabbed onto Jesus' robe as He was walking by and this issue of blood that she had been battling in like 12, 18 years was instantly healed. Jesus didn't even speak to her. Jesus didn't command it to be done. What happened was this woman had faith in her and said, if I can just do this thing, I'll be healed. And Jesus, when He was touched, by the way, He was going through this big crowd and everybody was pawing at Him. And He says, who touched me? And His disciples did the same thing I would have done. What, you nuts? Everybody touched you. What do you mean, who touched me? And He sees this woman who's a little frightened now because Jesus is calling her out. And He says, because of your faith, this healing has come. Not because He put His hand on her, not because He spoke a single word, but because she had faith. And was she a good woman? We don't know. It doesn't address any of that in the Scriptures. It doesn't say that she was a righteous woman. It doesn't say that she was a heathen. It doesn't say that she was in witchcraft. All it says was she had a faith that was a desire within her heart to be healed, and she knew Jesus could heal it, and it did. The faith healed. For by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you healed through faith. Again, that's a Pastor Dan version. Don't go around and cross-knitting that and putting a verse to it, all right? But the physician can do this thing, but we've got to accept it and we've got to believe it. Maybe some of you are going through a real hard time. Judy, I'm going to pick on you for just a second, sis, and it's nothing that's meant to hurt your feelings at all. But she just lost her father. Whole family comes together in grief. Now, Leon lived a good long time, did a lot of great things, but it still hurts when somebody is taken away from you. Jesus can heal that sorrow. Maggie, I'm going to pick on you. Okay, I'm going to make it personal today. We know Fred's in the nursing home, and we know he's struggling. We know hospice has been called in, and you're hurting. You have sorrow. Jesus can heal that sorrow. Okay, Jim, you got bodily issues that are coming against you. Jesus can heal those bodily issues. Fauna, you've got bodily issues. We've heard about it. You've asked for prayer. We know Jesus can heal those legs. Okay? Your kid has probably traumatized you in ways that he'll never know. And he's not upset about it. He's actually laughing. He's going, he's got me on that one. Jesus can heal that. Your dad has done some things, brother, that we need to probably talk about and get you through, all right? But Jesus can heal those things. You lost your mom and your dad within 6 months of each other, 3 months of each other, 52 days of each other. That's going to suck. But Jesus can heal that sorrow.
We lost about other family, about 9
together. Whether it's the emotions, or whether it's the body, I have a God that can handle each and every one of them. You want to get into an exercise program, we're going to get you there. That'll probably be next week. I can't guarantee it yet. But the first thing we have to do is consult the physician. Are you really listening to what the doctor has to say, or are you just pushing it off? Because you're expecting God to deal with you at your level, you sometimes forget that He is way higher. My wife and I were talking about this a little bit. We actually put our character upon God sometimes and would say, well, I wouldn't heal this person. So I wouldn't heal me. We have to recognize God is way higher. Now, I'm not saying that every issue that comes against you, God's going to want to just heal right away. We know in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, Paul had this issue against his body. This thorn in the flesh that he says Satan, a messenger of Satan came and buffeted his body. I always read that buffet when I first started, but I was a Baptist back then, and buffets were really cool. But it's actually buffeted, right? Struck against his body. It's spelled the same way, just got to remember to read it right. My wife is shaking in her chair right now. And from Galatians chapter 4, what we come to recognize is he had some kind of eye problem. In Galatians 4, it actually states, you know, Paul said to the people, I know you love me so much that if it were possible, you would have gouged your own eyes out and given them to me to heal me. I know you... Some people always go to the negative. But he knew the people loved him so much and that eye issue. So we assume his thorn in the flesh was something to do with his eyes. And he went to God three times. Now this was Paul the Apostle who was able to pray over an apron and have it go across an entire continent. And anybody that got this apron laid upon them was instantly healed because of the great power that was put upon it through prayer and faith. This is that guy. And he went to God three times and said, hey, I want this thing taken care of. And then the third time, God said, my grace is sufficient. And then Paul realized God allowed this thing for a purpose in his life, and it was part of his ministry. It wasn't just an illness that was supposed to stricken him and cause him pain. It was an illness that was supposed to bring a ministry power into his life. And he was able to use it to help other people come to Jesus Christ. Now, there are going to be times when God allows these things to stricken us that are going to be visible to other people so that they can recognize if that guy can love God and that guy can depend on him for strength and healing, I can too. But I want you to know, Paul didn't stop until God told him to stop. He kept going back to the great physician saying, I want this gone, I want this gone, I claim your healing. And the great physician at this time decided, it's better for you to deal with this one. I'm going to let this one stay because there's a purpose in my kingdom for it. A lot of these other sicknesses that we go through, no purpose. We're simply stricken because we got into something we shouldn't have gotten into. Sarah, Phoenician woman, got into witchcraft, put a striking on her daughter. We're stricken because we didn't follow the doctor's advice in the first place and got away from the prescription. So something wrong came into our lives. We crossed the word somehow, and these things were invited into us. And God is saying, I have the ability to heal this. By grace and faith, these things are possible. Now, I'm not up here preaching an ultra-healing movement. Okay, I'm not going to call people up here and put my hands on you, watch you fall on the ground and get up when you're healed. Okay, that's not what I'm preaching here. What I'm preaching here is, if you can believe that Jesus bore your sins, why aren't you believing for the other things? If you can believe you're going to heaven because of the cross, why can't we believe that we can be healed from both our bodily and emotional issues because of the cross? Why is there this dichotomy? Why is there this hypocrisy? Why can one out of three be healed if the one thing was meant to heal all three? Can anybody answer that for me? I kind of took all your excuses away, but it's the truth. I showed you in Scripture. The Bible that says He bore our sins is the same Bible that says He bore our sickness and our sorrow. And if He's already bore it, listen to what the Bible says. He's already bore these things on the cross. These things are past tense. He's done this already. And by His stripes, we were healed. It means the healing has already come, and all we got to do is receive it. Now, does that mean you'll never get sick again? No, because odds are you're going to cross something else up and invite something into your life. What it does mean is it's already been taken care of. All we got to do is receive it. Now, what I'd like to do at this time, instead of just keep on beating you over the head with this, is help you to understand how to activate this. how to activate the healing into my life, how to activate that sorrow from being something that's constricting my life to something that has been taken care of by the cross. How to take this issue against my body and bring it to healing because of the cross. Well, it's the same thing that you did when you came to salvation. Again, by grace, you were saved. Through faith. So I want you to think back and remember that prayer that you put out there that invited Jesus Christ into your life. That moment when you truly believed that Jesus was Lord and Savior. Not just Savior, but Lord and Savior. And where you decided, I'm going to submit my life to Jesus Christ and allow Him to be my ruler. I want you to think back to that moment. I want you to think back to that prayer. That same prayer that you put out there to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is the same prayer that you can pray today to say, Lord, my sorrows are heavy. My emotions are just out of control. I'm weeping. I'm crying all the time. I am so hit and brought under depression because of these feelings that I'm going through. And I don't want to be there anymore. I don't want to be in that depressed state anymore. I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to bring the healing into my situation that He bore on the cross. Just like you said, I call on the name of Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior and accept Him that He died and rose again, right? Remember that prayer that you put out there? Same prayer can help that grief and help that sorrow. I call upon the name of Jesus to bring healing into my body because I have been stricken down by something that I shouldn't have got into. I repent of this thing. Remember how we repented in the sinner's prayer to come to salvation, right? I repent of those things that I've called into my life and I turn myself over to Jesus for the healing to take place. And I'm not going to get up here and tell you that your lack of faith is preventing your healing. Okay? There are a lot of churches that are out there right now that will actually scream in your face and say, you must have more faith. You're not getting healing because you don't have faith. I'm not going to bother with you anymore. There's churches that will do that. What I'm telling you is there's a healing that's been made available and you've got to activate it by the faith that you have in Christ. And then you go after it again when it doesn't come. Paul went three times and he finally got the words from Jesus himself, from God. He said, my grace is sufficient. I want you to carry this. I want you to have this infirmity. I want you to use this as a ministry opportunity. But don't stop until you hear something from God. And if God says, I want you to go through this, you know what Paul did? He said, I glory in my infirmity. I glory in this thing that is now something that I thought was a detriment, something I thought was just ridiculous in my life, and now I've turned it into a glorifying thing in my life. He was no longer upset about it. He was no longer desperate about it. He was praising God for it. But only after God said, this is something that my will is in your life. Don't stop. Never stop praying until you hear the words from God telling you to stop. And when you're praying, stand believing. And I'll put it this way. If you're not going to believe He's going to do it, why do you bother praying in the first place? There's no sense of praying if you don't believe He's going to do something about it. Just none. So I need a little something from you guys today. This is Pastor Dan's need. As you bow your heads and close your eyes, we'll get ready to close this thing up. I need to know that you heard me today. That this was a message that I didn't put on paper. I didn't put all these great notes together with. And trust me, I wanted to. I wanted notes and quotes for this entire thing so that I could just nail it and beat it down your throat. But I was compelled to do it in a more emotional and a more personal manner. Yes, we brought some levity into it. Yes, we had some laughs. But here's the serious portion of the whole thing. I need to know. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, rose again on the third day, By his stripes, you are able to make it into heaven. Do you know that? And if you know that, get your hand up in the air. Put it back down. Do you know that the same cross not only took your sins away, not only bore those sins, but also bore your sorrows and your griefs? And that God has the ability to help you in every situation that you're in when you're in pain, bodily and emotionally. If you know that, put your hand back up in the air. Go ahead and put them back down. This is a pretty unanimous choice here, guys. We all believe that God can do this thing. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand for this one, but I want you to think to yourself, am I the one that's praying for everybody else, but not thinking to pray for myself? Am I the one that believes God is going to heal and move in somebody else's life, but I'm not thinking He's going to do it for mine? Am I the one that Pastor Daniel's talking about when he said that we have all kinds of faith for everybody else, but when it comes down to our own situation, our own scenario, all of a sudden we're not good enough, so our faith goes away? You raised your hand and you believe that God can do this thing. Don't discount yourself because the enemy got in your head and convinced you you're not good enough. Don't discount yourself because you got some kind of personal hang-up that says it's okay for everybody, but it's not for me. Turn yourself over to God just like you did for salvation and watch what happens. Start with an easy one. Lord, I'm still upset from the pet that I lost years ago. Still tears me up the way those things went. Jesus, I know you can heal me. Will you bring the healing into my emotional trauma? And then if you've lost a son or a daughter or a grandchild or a husband or a father or a mother or a wife, maybe a really close friend, God can heal that. Maybe you were in the military and you watched people, you maybe even held people die in your arms on the battlefield. Christ can heal that. Maybe you're here today and you've got some kind of physical ailment. Maybe your back hurts. Maybe your knee. Maybe your foot's broken. Well, I'll let you decide who you are on that one. And yes, God does allow for a natural healing to take place in some situations. But I have people in this room that'll tell you, that'll testify, they've seen some supernatural healing take place. I've got a woman in this room that can testify that she saw somebody with a club foot and that foot completely opened up and healed in front of her eyes. We've had a person in this church who was stricken with aneurysms that should not have ever been healed naturally. Well, they had to gone through surgery after surgery to get these things done. And as a matter of fact, she was supposed to have that surgery when the doctors came in and said, she's healed. We're not doing the surgery. I've seen it happen. I know it can be done. And the doctor has told us how to do it. Will you finally listen to the doctor? Some of you may know him by this name, the great physician. And will you receive the healing that he's prepared because his stripes brought the healing? Or you slap him in the face and say, your stripes mean nothing to me and they've got no power for me. By his stripes, we were healed. Don't tell him they can't, because he knows. So Father, as I come before your throne of grace today, I do thank you for your word, and I thank you for the empowerment that you placed upon the scriptures in these two occasions, in 1 Peter and Isaiah 53, to drive home a message that we have been missing out on the power, the fullness of the power of the cross, that it's not just about salvation, but so much more. And I pray that as we have taken in the word, as we have have reasoned even through these things and come to accept the truth behind them, that we will not falter, we will not succumb to the tricks of the enemy by allowing him to put fear or doubt or unbelief into us, but that we will stand on the truth that is the Word, and that we will take the medicine, that we will take this prescription that you put before us, and we will hold on to it tightly, and not only hold it, but we will claim it. And we'll say it is ours, and it is for my good. It's for my neighbor's good. It's for my mother's good, my father, my wife, my son, my daughter, my grandchild. And all these different examples, I gave you many different types, church, of the different kinds of healings, whether it was somebody asking for somebody else or somebody asking for themselves. Bartimaeus, the blind man, came to Jesus screaming, and everybody told him to shut up. Nothing Jesus can do for you. And it just made him cry out all the more. And Jesus finally got up to him and he asked him, what do you want? He didn't ask him, how good are you? He didn't ask him if you repented over your misdeeds. He didn't ask him how great he is for charities. He just simply said, what do you want? That I may receive my sight, Lord. And he received. Because he had faith. And because he wouldn't be quieted by the masses. So as the enemy screams and he sends his demons to scream in your ears that you can't have this, shut up, Jesus isn't listening to you. Scream out the more. Just as Bartimaeus did. Father, I thank you for that example I had not prepared nor thought of before this moment. I ask that we'll all take these examples, these Bible examples that we believe have taken place. We'll apply them to our situations and the situations of those that we love. May you be glorified in every breath that we have. May you be glorified in every good faith that we put towards you. And Lord, as we recognize your character is far above our own and that you have a different way of getting things accomplished than what we understand, let us simply take in faith the desire that you have for our good. I pray that you will inspire every heart by way of your Holy Spirit, that they will recognize you have good plans for them. By helping them recognize that you have good intentions for their lives, and all these evil things that come about are not portioned with your plan, but that they can be healed and they can be well. Lord, I thank you for the ability for these things to take place, and I look forward to hearing testimony after testimony of how people have taken this prescription today and made changes in their mentality, made changes in their prayer life, and are now receiving the healing that they've been looking for years because they know that you bore those sorrows. You bore those griefs just as you bore their sin. Thank you. In the name of Christ we pray it. Amen.